Thank you very much for that introduction. So just to introduce myself, I'm Matt Gardner. I'm Senior Programme Manager for our Digital Programmes and Projects at the Royal Liverpool. So I just want to spend a few moments just really phrasing our Global Digital Exemplar programme, because we don't talk about the Royal Liverpool's GDE programme. We talk about Digital Liverpool. And really the ethos behind that is that the health ecosystem is fundamentally one that is complex. It's a complex system. So what we've tried to do through our GDE programme is we introduce some elements that benefit the locality in which we operate, so the hospital, but also some of that wider social context. So we talk about the Liverpool Way. And what we're talking about the Liverpool Way is that it's one of historic investment in Liverpool. So when the GDE programme was commissioned in 2016, for us, we were actually pushing against an open door. So in terms of Liverpool's digital agenda, we started that through 2007 with the new Health Service for Liverpool that then morphed into the Healthy Liverpool Initiative. And digital was billed as a transformation programme within that at the outset. So digital wasn't described as an enabler. It was described as a part of redefining and restructuring the local health and social care system. And we don't talk about digital change per se in terms of this Liverpool journey. We talk about adaptive change, which is a term that's been used in that King's Fund report that was published early in the year, for those that are familiar. And it's this idea that digital is one third of that paradigm of what fundamentally is an adaptive change. It's the what can I realise with SMEs in the room in terms of the technological intervention. It's the human factor, so fundamentally the people. And then it's also, quite frankly, financial incentive. It's some element of capital, revenue, whatever, or however you want to table investment that enables you to get there. So how did that manifest itself in terms of the Liverpool Way? Well, from an STP perspective, we introduced a digital strategy across Cheshire and Merseyside. That was published in July this year. The predecessor to that, of course, was all around local delivery roadmaps. We used a clinical informatics advisory group, which is a panel that set up PAN region that looks to bring together senior clinicians and managers from the whole ecosystem, primary care, community and secondary care, to really innovate and understand what the fundamental problems are within the system. And then the interesting element or dimension to this is that we actually also introduced a direct sequin in relation to attendance at that CAIEG group. So there's actually a financial incentive to those organisations to actually engage and collaborate around digital. Taking that down to more of a local level in terms of where does that sit within the Royal Liverpool's GDE programme, we've sort of embodied that within our own digital strategy. We have our own groups that sort of replicate the CAIEG model locally. That's done through our digital design board, which ultimately sets the trajectory in terms of where our digital journey is going to go in the future. But we've also created the delivery of digital excellence as a corporate objective for this financial year. So it's perceived very much at a corporate level by our chief executive as a priority for this financial year, because there's a realisation that we're not talking about digital for the sake of digital. It's fundamentally an adaptive change within the organisation that results in improved patient outcomes and clinical effectiveness. So what we've done really through that is establish a positive framework within the hospital that really has resulted in, so you coined Paul's term earlier, you know, a room of disruptors. We have a hospital of disruptors. We actually have a number of different, through our digital design board, ideas that sort of manifest themselves within a local care setting that people say, I really want to do this. How can I actually access some of that GDE funding to deliver, you know, improvements around respiratory care pathways, etc.? And it's really quite encouraging to see innovation at the grassroots. This isn't done fundamentally at a strategic level, say in terms of this is our GDE agenda and we're not going to entertain anything else. It's very much at every single level of the organisation. So I think first key message is it's all about establishing that culture for innovation within your organisation. And I think what we're seeing through the STPs is a bigger drive to that on a regional level. So that, in short, that's the Liverpool Way. So what's our journey so far? And this is quite a busy slide, so I'll just pull out a couple of key highlights. So prior to the GDE programme starting, we participated in a consolidation around the EMIS platform. So we've sort of unified access to care records across primary care. And then we also developed through the Healthy Liverpool Initiative the single information exchange, which is this idea around a transparent tiered model of who can access what data. So as an example, within that model, and it's shared across every care provider within the North Mersey region, be it primary, secondary, or community, If I'm an administrative member of staff, I can access the demographic data for a patient, but I can't access perhaps some of the individual medical records of that individual. Equally, if I happen to be a healthcare practitioner, I can access more of that data. So we're being very, very transparent across all those different care streams and also industry, what data people can actually access. And we did that through a series of engagement models through CAIAG, patient engagement groups. So we've got that shared framework. So really the GDE program is pushing against that open door. We've already established these frameworks and we all talk the same language. And I think that manifested itself in the GDE program, in that we have a high concentration of GDEs in Liverpool. So it's not just the Royal Liverpool, there's also Alderhay as a tertiary service. We've got some partners in Wirral that also contribute to it. And there's Merseycare as well in the mental health domain. So what did our GDE programme look like? It's comprised of four fundamental work streams, just looking at it on a local level. This is a significant oversimplification of the programme. Underneath this, there's probably a number akin to what Salford have experienced. But we've got digital innovation, which is fundamentally all about how can you use digital technology to improve the care pathways that exist in the hospital. So to take an early success example within that programme of work, we had a digital sepsis pathway, which we published a national blueprint for as part of the Blueprint and Learning Network Steering Group, which effectively looked at using our e-observations platform and then using clinical decision support algorithms in the background. It effectively will flag to a clinician that the conditions that would suggest there may be a positive case of septicemia for this patient has been triggered so that they can actually deliver care. So we now screen 100% of inpatient and emergency admissions within the hospital, and then we, by virtue of that, deliver antibiotics. I think about 85% antibiotics are delivered within the first hour. Of course, it's a quite low-cost intervention to deliver, but time is of the essence. So that's one example that was something that was programmed within our digital innovation agenda as part of GDE. We've also seen some, to my earlier point about establishing that culture within the organisation, some things that actually haven't been explicitly on our digital roadmap, and that's quite difficult to manage. So you almost become victims of your own success because you've got everyone collaborating and innovating around how can I improve health outcomes. As an example, more recently, as part of our Digital First Hospital, which is our third milestone in our GDE programme, we closed off last month. One of the clinicians came to us who was working in palliative care and said, I've got a patient that fundamentally is on the palliative care path and we would like to improve their experience. I'd like to use virtual reality as a means of taking them back to some familiar context. We did that. Patient had a positive experience, and it just helped in terms of that end of care life plan. What was quite interesting about that is that we then had a physiotherapist that witnessed the VR initiative that had been done in palliative care and said, I'd really like to use that technology actually to try and wean one of my patients off the ventilator in the high dependency unit. So actually, can we use some level of distraction therapy to take that patient somewhere else and then we can actually slowly wean them off something that this person had been connected to, I think it was a 29-year-old, for about 6 months, off the ventilator such that they don't have that dependency. So that was an example of local digital innovation using technology that wasn't planned in our GDE pipeline, but ultimately people are starting to engage with us and say, I've seen this bit of tech in terms of the consumer industry, how can I use it in healthcare? And I think that's one of the main challenges that we yet to get over in terms of healthcare. It's how can we use consumer-grade tech, which, let's be honest, tends to be at a lower cost than specific medical devices, to really innovate around some of our care pathways. So VR was one instance in Liverpool wherein we were able to do that through our partnerships, through the GDE programme. Just very quickly, in terms of the structured approach around GDE, we've also got our EPR, which is looking at integrating the EPR across the wider ecosystem. So we're working with Aintree University Hospitals and Liverpool Women's around a joint system. And then we've got our clinical transformation program, which is really a box of other items that different clinicians think is a really good idea within our hospital, really, because what we didn't want to do is really restrict the innovation that was enabled through this, because, as I say, we really established a positive culture of let's just get on with it. So we tend to use an agile methodology, a bit like what Salford do through a digital lab, wherein we'll test it with a small cohort of people, and then if it's successful, not all our innovations are, I'll be frank with that, we'll look at cascading it to the larger organisation. So that clinical transformation thing encapsulates things like a clinical informatics hub, so that's a meeting of minds in terms of academia, SMEs and clinicians together in a room to innovate around what some of those problems are, and we facilitate that through our Digital Innovation Hub. So the Digital Innovation Hub for us is a physical construct that replicates the conditions you have in the hospital. So it's a mock-up single inpatient bedroom with all of the technology that's involved within that. We've got a safe house, which looks, if anyone's familiar with it, a bit like an IKEA mock-up, wherein you've got a living room and a kitchen. And we've got a load of different sensors that enable you to monitor, you know, if I put additional piece of kit in here to help someone with dementia, what sort of impact does that have? So we have a safe environment within which to test this. And then we're just trying to implement a GP's office to try and capture that entire circle in terms of healthcare provision, so you can really see the whole patient's journey through the innovation hub in a working environment before you put it into reality. So that's the idea behind the GDE thing. I think main takeaways are it's all about patient outcomes and establishing clinical effectiveness, and it's user engagement at every level. I think a lot of programs tend to just focus on the clinical and nursing workforce at a certain level within the organization, and you're missing a huge innovation opportunity at a lower subset. The reality is that a lot of junior doctors and trainee nurses that are emerging from the academic life cycle now are already digitally mature. They want to use the tech that are available. One of the problems I think we can all associate with is the advent of WhatsApp and its use within healthcare. I think that's quite difficult to regulate. So I think the message is, if we don't innovate at pace, our end users will innovate for us. They will find workarounds, they'll find ways of doing it using consumer-grade tech, which doesn't necessarily comply with all the information governance practices, but ultimately that's one of the challenges I think we have. So what we've seen through the GDE program is innovation at pace. We were doing this already, but fundamentally it's given us a pipeline and an opportunity to accelerate at pace. So our GDE program closes at the end of next year. So I just thought I'd share one interesting slide in terms of the start of our GDE journey, which was a quote from one of our clinicians working in our emergency department when we suggested that we were actually going to go paper-free completely. And the quote was, if you implement paper-free, you are walking this hospital into the valley of death. In no uncertain terms, that was the declaration. And what was quite fascinating in that case is our CCIO stood up, who was a cardiologist, and said, I'd really like to understand what working practices you're using in your department, because I've been using digital tech for 6 months and I've not had anyone die or be associated with paper-free. And I think that's where we say, you know, the biggest, I think positive that we've seen through the GDE program is that culture and behaviours framework. As I say, we're already innovating. It's just about getting everyone on board on the same bus with the same vision. So fundamentally, what actually happened? Well, no, we didn't end up in the valley of death. We're still operating in Liverpool as we know it. So we've seen 3 million digital forms digitised with significant cost efficiencies. Avoidable deaths that have been attributed with our sepsis pathways, and we've seen early identification and treatment of deteriorating patients, and then some increases in falls assessments as well. We've also seen some reductions in cardiac arrests, and just to borrow a six-letter acronym, another innovation that came out that wasn't fundamentally planned was ELOCSIPS, which for anyone that isn't familiar with the acronym is about safety procedures within invasive treatment. So that was again something that wasn't planned, but ultimately a consultant came to us and said, oh, I really think there's an opportunity to use the same technology here to really improve some of our working practices. And as a result of the ELOCSIPS initiative, we've not had any NEVER events in, I think, in excess of 2 years now. So I think just in sum, I think what the program's fundamentally done is broken the mold. So it's not your bog standard IT program. I said at the outset, what we talk about is an adaptive change. It is that if you have this idea where you do a digital change and then you stop, that's a fallacy. These things are iterative initiatives that have to run. So our digital agenda isn't going to stop at the close of the GDE program. It's palpably different. We've established approach with some of our international partners, so I'm quite interested in the links that we talked about with Boston earlier, because we are collaborating with MIT over there on some digital innovation initiatives. And I think taking a whole citywide approach really enables us to spread our learning and really improve the outcomes of the patient across the community. And then just to wrap up, in terms of sharing our learning, we're engaging with the Blueprint Initiative, which is looking at establishing best practice across the UK healthcare system. But we're also interlinking with some of our international partners as well in terms of what we can learn. And I think what was quite telling for me in terms of our international partnerships is our sepsis clinical lead happens to chair the African Alliance for Sepsis. And it's actually quite humbling to notice that a lot of these low, middle-income economies recognise the benefits of a digital health record. There's companies that exist in these low-income middle countries that have an EPR yet don't have electricity 24/7, and they'll revert to paper notation that they'll then upload because the benefits are enormous. So I think that's been a real humbling experience for us through some of those international partnerships, and we learn through them. So through our Fast Follow relationship with Liverpool Women's, we're expecting them to implement and achieve paper-free significantly easier than we did. I think I'll just round off there by saying key messages are it's adaptive change. It's as much about the human factors and some of those financial incentives and placing it as a corporate priority as much as it is just about the digital technology. I think you need a relentless focus on patient outcomes and clinical effectiveness, because ultimately that's the language that we understand in a healthcare economy, and ultimately it tends to link back with data and in data we trust. And then fundamentally, I think you need to establish that culture of innovation at every single level of your organisation. Don't just target programme leadership at that consultant matron grade layer of your organisation. Get those clinical fellows engaged, the PA initiatives fund those. That's what we've done with some of our junior doctors. Get some of the junior nurses involved, because that's where you will actually see some of those unplanned digital outcomes. That's it from me. Thank you very much.